All good. G'day everyone, welcome to the show, and today's guest is Dean Lefwich. How you going, Dean?
Good mate, how you doing?
Good, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah,
we've been spending a couple of weeks together. Giles Campbell and his Mrs. Britt just had a baby, so congratulations to them. I'm living with them on the property. I met Dean through Giles. They met at James Gilliland's ranch. It's weird synchronicities how a lot of things are playing, but we'll be going into a bit of that today in terms of synchronicity. Dean's an experiencer. He's in the crop circles, had some crazy experiences with crop circles, which I find probably to be the most fascinating to date, for me anyway, to hear what's happened with Dean. Lots of synchronicities with numbers, like a lot of yous have contacted me and talked about with the 1111 and other numbers. And also he's had a hit on ayahuasca, had that a few times, which is a pretty cool thing, and you've got videos up, not just of some experiences with ayahuasca, but also with the crop circle. So I'll be having links where this show, you know, wherever it's posted, down the bottom, underneath the bio, there'll be a link to Dean's videos on his YouTube channel, which I think is Fast Walkers.
Yep.
So we'll get to it. Dean, how did all this start to play out for you in terms of experiences and the synchronicities? And because it's different for everyone, but yeah. How did this sort of come into fruition for you, and when did you start taking notice?
I probably started really taking notice. Been experiencing a lot of things for probably about 20 years, but I guess probably about 5, 6, 7 years ago, things just come to a crescendo.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, synchronicities, numbers, just constantly seeing 1111. And being mildly amused by it, like you just pull a phone out of your pocket, look at your phone, walk into the kitchen, there's it on the, numbers are on the oven, stove, top, you know, computer, and I just kept seeing it constantly. And I remember one night, and it is a prompt, as I found out.
Mm.
I mean, I just Googled it, basically. Just
is that what happened? So you got the thought, I'm seeing this enough, I'll just Google it.
I just Googled it. Yeah. It was one night, I'll sit at the computer and a bang, you're looking at the screen and for no reason, your eyes just, boom, go straight to the time. And I thought, there's that bloody 1111 again. And I Googled it, just 1111, you know, meaning, and I couldn't believe there were so many different sites and pages
on it.
And
how many years ago would that be going back to when?
That's probably 8 years ago. Seven years ago.
So it goes back a bit of time, because a lot of people just have only mentioned it the last few years, but they don't realise it goes back than this last, you know.
Yeah, well, like I said, I couldn't get over it actually meant anything.
Yeah.
You know, it was just curiosity, and what I read was it was your guides trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And I guess being a fairly grounded Aussie tradesman, it was like, yeah, whatever.
Blow it off a bit.
Blew it off a bit, but I started thinking back with it and synchronicity and events that were taking place with it too, and I just thought, wow. And I was telling a friend about it, and she said I should go visit a woman on the Gold Coast and go sit down and talk with her about it, and she really opened my eyes up to a lot of stuff there. And synchronicities, like with the crop circles, I've been following them since I was 14, you know, always looking at UFO magazines. I love flying, aviation.
Yeah.
Is my passion in life. So, I mean, anything that flies, always had a pretty healthy interest in flying saucers.
Yeah.
You know, anything in the sky.
So, did you have, because you've had sightings as well, we've had sightings together since you've been up here the last couple of weeks as well, but with the number type, with the number synchronicity, did you have sightings before then as well, or was it afterwards, or was it around sort of the same time, you know, you started to see lights in the sky? And
yeah, look, I was 22, my first experience.
Yeah.
I'd moved to the Gold Coast.
So that's a while
ago.
It's
21 years ago. So yeah. I mean, I was falling out with some guys I was living with and basically just wanted to get home.
Yeah.
And had a big argument with them that night, went up to bed, and I was thinking about just moving back to Brisbane. And I had this massive orange-red ball of light just appear in the corner of the bedroom. And I freaked out and got my covers up to here, and that was it. And I woke up the next morning.
So
sun was up, and it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember laying there thinking, oh, my God, I'm actually scared stiff. I can't move.
And then you woke up.
And then I woke up.
Yeah, I've had similar stuff happen like that. Yeah.
So that was 22, but, I mean, not 7-8 years after that, I was 29, that was my first sighting. We'd flown our little ultralight plane out to Caralbin and was sitting out there on a Sunday and just looking up at the sky, beautiful day, awesome. We're sitting on top of the lookout, seeing this incredible bloody view of the Caralbin Valley. And I had this huge white light just explode in the sky, and this classic flying saucer just punched straight out of it. And we just watched it just slip through the atmosphere, and there's a lot of other people up there, and I just started screaming at the top of my voice, just look, look, look. Because, I mean, this is daylight, blue sky, big, dark, grey, metallic craft.
Yeah, yeah.
Saucer-shaped.
Did you see a flash after, like, it flashed, then there's a disc. Was there another flash afterwards, or you just were, you're too sort of taken aback by the disc, just concentrating on that?
Yeah, there was no flash afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
The original flash was in my peripheral. So I was just looking out here, and it was like, bang, and your eyes went straight to that flash.
To where it went, yep.
And that's what just, and it took me a second or two to just realise what I was looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just started screaming for other people to look. And a couple of guys that was nearby were looking down my hand, and they saw it too. And even 20 years later, I catch up with them once or twice a year. It's the first thing they'll generally start talking about.
They'll bring it up, yeah.
Because it was big for them too.
Trippy. So, like, the sightings on and off happened.
So they started from about 29.
20, yeah.
And onwards.
Continuing up to today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got to a point where they just, little things like, you just say to your friend or your girlfriend, hey, let's go outside and lay on the bloody trampoline and look for stars and satellites or UFOs. And you'd go out there and sure enough, within 5-10 minutes, you'd have a light come over you.
Mm.
So a lot of things like that. So I guess what I started researching more, and this whole consciousness thing started coming into play. I started, you know, try to get my head around that.
Yeah.
And that really started to come into it too. And a lot of things that I thought were coincidences started to be like, well, geez, could that actually be true? Could that actually be happening and working this way, you know?
Yeah. No, well, that's the big thing. We've talked about that, and you all listening or viewing this know that I'll say there's no such thing as a coincidence, which there is the conscious component, which we've talked about in depth, and the intent. Because I think, well, I know the intent's got a lot to do with how, you know, these experiences can manifest from sort of you initiating it in terms of the intent. Whether they pick up on it, want to, you know, do whatever is another thing. But the pure intents, you know, got a lot to do with it. You know that from hanging out with James, going over to his ranch and that too. When did you start to pick up on the intent and the conscious sort of things with the crafts and whatever else was starting to play out?
Well, I think just researching and just trying to listen to as much as you could. I mean, it was actually Stephen Greer was in one of his presentations, and he was just talking there, and he just said, who here has had interaction with a craft, and there was a thought component to it, and yeah. I just went, oh, geez, that I've never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I heard him say that, I thought, geez, I mean, I've been having a lot of experiences, you know, just thinking about certain things without expecting anything to happen, and that's when I was having these experiences,
yeah.
More so with a ship, or just a light in the sky, or something would show up. You know, orbs in the sky, and I just think, wow, when he said that, that made sense then, for the first time, of all these things I kept thinking were coincidences, or because, you know, I love flying, and I'd look up into the sky and just think, oh yeah, because you are looking up, you know, looking at clouds, that's what sort of day it is, it'd be nice to be in the plane flying around. But I soon realised that that wasn't, I bought his books and then just read more about, try to get more of an understanding. Was coming across James around about the same time and listening to him too, and this pure intent that they were going on about, and then really realizing that, wow, I'm experiencing this.
Yeah.
And that was...
It's a profound moment to yourself,
isn't it?
Because you're sort of like, whoa.
And then you think, okay, now you want to try and tell your partner or your close friends about this, and I'm struggling to try and understand it myself. And that it could even be real or happening, you know, that something is picking up on thought. I mean, you think, okay, what's thought? Yeah, it's energy, and you know, you got to get right past this energy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you got a thought in your head and there's no one around to hear it. It's something going out, something else picking that up in some other resonant frequency, dimension, and then it's doing whatever it does.
To
make, you know, conspire to bring this about to happen, you know.
Well, it took me a while to pick up on that, and I didn't have anyone really to talk to or found it anyway, but it took me, like, as I said to you the other day, I think that I had that many sightings that I started to go, there's got to be a thought component, and maybe it's not my thought, because why do I know how and when to go outside and look straight up, and the crafts are there, and I'm thinking that they're there. So that's how I came across it, and eventually a lot of us do come to that conclusion, because we're experiencing that. With your family and friends, how do you go about that, integrating them and where you're at now? You still got to keep, you know, I think neutral on some things, but how does it play out with family? You just don't bother talking about it to them, or you've...
No, I've got a lot better understanding. I don't talk to them in detail about this whole thought.
Yeah, I'd do their head in. Do a lot of people's heads in.
They just do their heads in. You know, it took me long enough to think, geez, that's just out there. But at the end of the day, everything's possible. I mean, we live in an infinite universe, so why not? But, you know, they know I've been the black sheep of the family my whole life, so if I'm doing something or talking about something totally,
yeah,
you know, that's not the mainstream, it's pretty normal for them.
Don't be thinking, this is Dean.
Yeah, you know, like going to the crop circles in 2010, they just thought, okay, go Dino.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, again, something I've always been interested in.
Yeah.
And they know that I've been interested in that sort of stuff, so... But to go into too much detail, I just don't with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I tell them I have, you know, I see a lot of salt, I see a lot of craft. Was in England, you know, when I guess that following synchronicities to get to England, going over there looking for answers, and you know, the universe was just throwing them at me constantly. Again, that's that pure intent.
Over there. We'll go into that. Now, Dean went to England or the UK, and we'll go into what happened, but before, what was the turning point for you to go, all right, I've got to go to the UK in the first place?
Yeah, well, the last crop circle that came down in 2009 was dubbed the 11/11 crop circle, the joining of two worlds. And that just, I went, wow. I mean, I think it came down in a crop that was bean or something that they'd never seen one come down before in. It was very late in the season.
Yep.
And I just looked at that, and because this woman I went and saw and was talking to her, you know, she wanted to know why I was there. I said, you know, you tell me. So I don't want to give him anything, give him nothing to go on.
And that was a psychic, was it?
Yeah, it's a psychic. It does. Yeah.
I mean, so you weren't leading on or anything. Nothing. It's like, you tell me why I'm here.
You tell me why I'm doing here.
Yeah.
You know, and she went through her process, and we spoke about a few things there with guides. There's a guide trying to get your attention. He's been with you since you were a kid. You know, I had imaginary friends when I was a kid. You know, you'd talk to, stand there at the fence and talk to people. And Mum used to say, I used to walk around all the time. I wouldn't go anywhere without them. They were behind me sort of thing. And Mum said I was always turning around saying, come on, we're going over here now. We're going over there. And she said, oh, hey, this guide behind me, he's got this blue gown and golden ball of light around his head. And I thought, okay, that's a little bit weird. And she said he was an ET. That got my attention. And he said, he's trying to get your attention. And that's when I brought up the 11/11 stuff. She said, that's what that is. So when that crop circle come down, I think this was a couple of years later, in 2009, and that formation was there, the joining of two worlds, I just thought, I've got to get on a plane and just go over there. So I looked for a tour group. I went with Dr. Chet Snow, and there was a small group of 12 of us. All flew in from all over the world, and
they were all into that.
Well, a lot of the ladies there, they were probably in their, you know, 50s, 60s, and very profoundly conscious women with all their own workshops and doing things like that. So to go spend a few weeks with them over there, and really for the first time to feel comfortable talking to people about what had been happening, because your friends and family just, you know.
Good outlet to get it off your chest and just to talk to others and brainstorm and learn.
Yeah, and that's what it was all about. And I mean, the answers I got over there, I mean, the sightings and experiences, synchronicities, again with 11/11, the ship's thought and manifestation was just one after the other.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing few weeks, and then to come back home to reality was pretty
hardcore.
So
what happened? There was an experience with we'll go into about the three dudes in the craft, if you want, that crop circle.
Yeah.
And there was another one or two crop circles you saw as well, wasn't there? Or that were produced while you were over there?
We were over there at the peak of the season, which is pretty much July, August. I had a bed paralysis experience before, a couple of months before I went.
Yeah.
I was in bed and just had these three greys basically coming out of the floor, and they had me by the arm, but it was like double vision. It was like they had your soul or your light
body.
Like
your body or your light body, yeah.
And I was freaking out. I'm looking at them and they're coming through the floor, and I'm like, I'm not going with you, as much as I always thought I would want to go. But I was just freaking out, and I finally managed to wake myself up, and ambient light changed in the room, and that episode was over.
Yeah.
But a couple of months later, I'm in England, and you know, again standing with all these women, they wanted to do all these orb photos.
Yeah.
And I'd never done that before, and I thought, well, when in Rome, you know, you're over here doing this, so I'm standing around this big circle with all these women holding
Getting involved,
hands,
yeah.
Getting involved, thinking, all right. And they're calling in, she does this guided meditation.
Yeah.
And she wants to call in everyone's guides, angels. So I'm standing there holding hands, she's doing that. And halfway through it, I broke off and I thought, okay, this guide of mine. I said, okay, mate, you've got my attention. I'm standing on the other side of the world. If you're there, just show me so I'm not going, you know, crazy. And there was a couple of people standing outside the circle, and after that was finished, they started taking photos, and here's this huge bloody ball of light behind my head. It's got that blue and gold on the outsides of it, very distinct, which, you know, comes back to that reading I had with that woman a few years earlier.
Yeah.
So that, for me, was just fantastic confirmation that, okay, yeah, there is an interdimensional reality that's interacting with us, guiding us, whether it's helping us, you know, I'm sure it's helping us, you know, on our path here and going here, there, even thoughts, putting certain thoughts in and
making
you
do
this and what have you, you know. So that was quite profound for me. Had an awesome sighting that night as well with that.
Did you film that craft?
Yeah, you did.
Film that. Is that up on the YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
And then was it the next night or the next day, there was a crop circle?
Well, that one there, that was 2010. I went back in 2011 because the few weeks I had there was mind-blowing.
Oh, so you went there, I didn't know that, you went over there twice.
So I went back there the following year.
This is Dean for you.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
That's hardcore.
Oh, look, when you've grown up, you've been camping, fishing, and done everything Aussie kids do your whole life. And I mean, I'm looking for something different. I mean, that was very different and loved it, so I went back. But that light that was flashing in the sky, because I'd asked, you know...
Oh, the blinker.
Yeah, the blinker.
Yeah.
And because I'd asked in that meditation, you know, show me that you're here, and a UFO would be great. You know, I'm not here for haircut sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, off the cuff sort of thing was what I thought. And after all those photos were taken, there was this flashy thing in the sky, which I spent another 2 hours with filming a lot of it. But the following year, I thought, I'd love to go back there and try and call it in or do something, as I'll start to read and hear about more of this sort of conscious CE5 work sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I went out there and sat in a paddock for an hour by myself the following year, and nothing happened. Went back to the farmhouse and climbed up in my loft, and I just thought, I'll have one more look. And I opened the roof window up and stuck my head out there, and there it was, just sitting above the trees.
There again.
Flashing. Yeah. And it was moving around, because, you know, you got the tree line there, so you can kind of see movement.
I think I filmed something very similar. I don't know if I've showed you yet, but it's like basically that, but in infrared. So, and it's like doing a bit of maneuvering and that. So that's all basically what you'll see now, the roof, like the roof that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Just blinking light going around. What happened from there? Like, how long was that doing that for?
Well, that was blinking above the tree, and I went straight back outside.
Yeah.
It was Helga. She was outside having a cigarette near her cabin, and I grabbed her and said, "Oi, come over here and have a look at this." And we both stood there and watched this thing, and it just moved straight off.
Yeah.
And I thought, come on, guys, just give me a flash, show me that you're there. And then within a second and a half later of thinking that, this massive light just came on in the sky about 200 feet above us. And Helga grabbed me, she grabbed me, and it, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because this thing just lit up.
And was it contained when it flashed, or was it like the whole area lit up?
No, it was contained. It was contained. It was no beam of light. It was just this flash. Exactly what you asked for. I got it. Was a huge flash of light, and it came off, and what was left was this donut. It looked like an oven element. It was orange, and it was like you turn an oven element off, and it was going down. And it just moved through the sky above us completely silently.
That's true.
And just watched it go. Now, the next morning, that was the Bishop's Canning formation in 2011. Now, that came down about 2 kilometres from where we were standing. And we were like the second group in there. And by the afternoon, the police had the whole thing shut off. But it rained all night that night in Wiltshire. From about 11, 12 o'clock onwards till the next morning. And this thing was so close, and we got in there, and you look at it, and it looks like 3 guys with helmets on in a spaceship. And that's what the formation clearly looks like to me. Yeah. You know, just 3 guys. So, I mean, it feels like a very personal crop circle.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get those sort of crop circles over there. In fact, it's just well known.
Is that the one you got the affected and non-affected nodes and the signature? Or the knots.
Yeah, the knots.
The knot in the middle. A lot of people don't know about this, and it was one thing I didn't know about, so I suggest go and look at the Fastwalkers channel on YouTube, and you can actually see a video of all that, can't you, in the the field there. Because it's pretty trippy stuff. There's sort of like a signature, like everything will be pushed down, sort of like waves of energy is going through it, and then every now and then you'll even get one strand is perfectly standing up, which there's just no rhyme or reason for it.
Yeah.
And especially with the knot, something trippy, like when you did that present for Mary Rodwell is when I found out about that, because I had no clue that can happen. There's sort of like signatures that these beings or whatever intelligence is doing it will leave. So that's pretty...
It's like a fingerprint. Cool. I mean, like, you know, every one of them's different. The energy, I mean, you walk into a crop circle, and I mean, sometimes you can feel the energy with them. I mean, I could feel in a few of them.
Yeah.
Some I couldn't. I mean, a lot of people there that you're walking up towards the crop circle, and they're like, oh, wow, can you feel that? And I'm like, nah. You know, on a lot of them, but on a few of them, man, I walked into a couple of them that was like that melatonin one. And the second you went from the tram line and took one step into the crop circle, it was like you're in a force field.
That was the signature of all the chemical makeup of melatonin.
Yeah.
That crop circle. And I think you were the first dude in there.
Not that one.
Not that one?
Not that one. I got into the...
So you've been in a few of them.
Yeah, heaps of them. Probably about 25.
Yeah.
And a couple of man-made ones, which, you know, you walk in there, I mean... Even some of the genuine ones, I couldn't feel any energy.
Yeah.
But I, there was nothing I could feel there. And you walk into a man-made one, it was just nothing, you know. Yeah. People give them a hard time about the man-made ones. I think it's a great idea. At least we're doing something.
Mm.
They might add to it or respond to it. You know, I still reckon we should put 1 + 1 =
and see what happens.
And see what they, see if they do anything.
Yeah.
So I've got no problem with the man-made ones. It's just that when they're... put across as being genuine, which really starts to throw, you know,
everyone off, you know, the centre of what's really going on. Do you want to tell us about the one that you were first in? Because that's a pretty cool story, how you, like, you're on that bus thing, you know, no one was meant to get off, and...
Yeah, no, well, like, again, you know, before I went over there in 2010, I wanted to be, just wanted to be the first person at crop circle, get in there, go find one, you know, and used to sit around thinking what it'd be like to be in one by yourself, you know. And we'd rolled up, we'd been going to a lot of formations and tons of people there. You get there, all the wheat's all trampled down, so you're missing a lot of the detail that's in the swirling of the crop. And we pulled up at this one morning, and there was a heap of buses there, and like Chet said, this is going to be a lot of people here. And just as we all got out of the car, one of their phones, message went off to say there's a fresh one down the road. We're like, you know, what do you want to do? Want to go look for that? We're like, yeah. So we're like storm chasers. We all jumped back in these vans and shot off down the road.
That'd be cool.
Well, when I got in this van, I jumped in there and I looked at the dash clock and it was 11:11 on the dash clock. And I just thought, very cool. This is significant.
Something going on here. Something going on.
And, you know, within an hour later, I was standing in a crop circle. They just called me out, being, you know, pretty much one of the youngest guys on the tour, and they just said they need a runner, and I ran in there and picked the only tram line. The thing was only like 180 feet across, but yeah, found that, ended up in the middle of it, and I was there for a good 20, 30 minutes by myself before anyone else got in there. So that was amazing.
That's experience. Awesome.
Again, synchronicity. with that 11-11, you know, reasons why you went over there looking for answers. You had those synchronicities. Again, there was a thought component with that, thinking that, you know, would love to be in one. You got that prompt with the 11-11, and then within that hour, I'm standing in one. So, I mean, how does that all work? How does the universal guides conspire? How do you get in a different time zone to be at that point for that time to be 11-11? You know, yeah. That's where coincidences for me just went out the door. Then it's like, no, there are none.
I say to a lot of people, just look at your thoughts at that time, what's happening when you do see that 11-11. What I want to bring up quickly too is you got some cool daytime footage of an object where you showed me the screenshot on your phone, and it's got the 11-11. And that's through the amount of time you were filming, wasn't it? Like at that point, or was that the actual time?
It was the time I'd come back from England. And I was waiting for my wheat because I had to get all gamma rayed and what have you, and had some drama with it coming back into the country.
And that was the knot of the middle of the crop circle.
Yeah, and it was a nice, good knot, that one.
Yeah.
But that particular morning, I was just driving around thinking, you know, I've lost all these prompts. Everything's just gone quiet for about 2.5 months. I'm thinking, wow, what's this it?
They forgot about me.
And I just happened to tap the back of my seat and said, "Oi, mate, you still with me? You know, what's going on?" And I was just thinking about all my experiences over there and crystals, why I took them over there, get them all charged up with this ancient...
He's into the Moldavite, the quartz,
Yeah, well, see, Sherry Whitfield was on the tour, and she's the keeper of the ancient crystal skull synergy. So they said bring some crystals, get them charged up in crop circles and with synergy. So just thinking all morning, driving around, working, thinking about all this stuff, and my wheat showed up, and, you know, tapping the back of the seat saying, "You're still with me, mate," sort of thing, and I pulled up my next job, and I get out, get into this backyard and set up the pool cleaning gear, and I just look straight up in the sky, and here's this bloody great big white light in the sky. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not a landing light, it's not a jet coming towards me. And that morning, just before I stepped out of the house, last minute I stopped at the door and went back in and grabbed my video camera.
Yeah.
In case I see a UFO today. I'd had such a big hit or big fix in England, you know, I wasn't carrying the video camera around with me like you would obsessively in the car, so, you know, but... I think about that, what made me go and do that
day.
So I got the video camera in the car. So I race out the van, grab my video camera, come back, and then just hit record and try to capture this bloody thing in the sky. And I was fumbling around heaps. I had the sun on the screen, so I was struggling to see. I could see it clearly here, but trying to catch it here and then zoom up on the bloody thing.
I was saying to you, people don't realise how hard it can be sometimes to film something during the day, because even with the camera, the background's going to just all blur out, and you're not going to be able to see properly because you're looking at this tiny little screen, let alone on the monocular where you've got to put your bloody eye up to the thing,
So that was very difficult to find. Then I finally got it, and because I was on a fair bit of zoom, I mean, you see all your shaky UFO videos, and you think, you know, why the bloody hell haven't you got a tripod, mate? Like, and here I am, I'm thinking, shit, I need a tripod. But that was amazing. Now, I stopped recording it. I thought, I've got to stabilise this, and I've got to get it on a fence. So I ran over to the pool fence and sat it on there, and then got it going again. And I was target fixation on the ship. And I forgot to hit record, and I pulled the thing. I only vomited at the end of it when I realised that.
Oh, it's happened to me a couple of times like that.
But here's this thing perfectly stabilised with, you know, a fantastic high-definition video camera purely for this. And here I am. I've got this thing zoomed in on the screen, and it's rotating with these lights on it. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. And then I zoom back out to get the tree line, get some perspective
and reference,
and then go back onto it, and it's gone. And then I looked down and realised I wasn't recording, and I just went cold.
But you did get part of that earlier during that sighting, just not this part.
And I went back to the van to get out of the light so I could sit back there and watch it. And as I'm playing it, and it finally came into screen, I hit pause, and that's when my eyes went straight to the bottom right-hand corner.
11-11.
And the timer had just gone to 11-11.
That's trippy.
Now, the year and the date and the time's completely wrong on the camera.
Is it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I never said it when I bought it, so it's always been wrong.
Yeah.
So, again, here's this time, only that morning, so are you still with us? And you get that as an answer. That was profound. Probably the most profound one for me.
Yeah.
You know, with that sighting, to capture it on video and to have the time to do that.
That's true for you.
At that exact moment, I just thought, there it is, hit pause.
Well, that's what we talk about. There's no such thing as a coincidence.
Yeah,
I think that's just a way that people blow things off to not think on a deeper level about how things come into fruition and come into existence or happen. Like timing, you know, there was the other day when Britt and Giles were having the baby and I think they were leaving, and you, if you didn't leave when you did, you wouldn't have passed them.
Yeah.
And it's like this exactly all played out and set up little signs to make us think and do things at a certain time.
What's prompting us to do that?
Yeah. You know? Whether it's our higher selves or guides or another intelligence on some other level, because I believe there's many things we're working with. Yeah. What it is exactly at each time, some of us, I think, can pick up on it. Some of us can't. But, you know, there's this big level to it. A couple more things I want to go into is the ranch, because we had Giles on the show talk about that. And it's just funny because a lot of the people I'm meeting up here have been to the ranch. I haven't been there myself, haven't been overseas yet. And sort of like everyone's sort of hooking up and we've all got this part to play and we don't even know what's going on. We're not special, like some people have said, they know who they are, we're not special, but there's something going on. We all, I think every single person here on the planet now in existence actually throughout the cosmos is playing a part in something, but it's just weird how a lot of yous have met up at the ranch and then, you know, from all different parts of the world. And these relationships continue to grow and other things come from it, experiences. How did you end up at the East Eddy Ranch and, like, what drove you there?
Yeah, well, I suppose listening to James talking and a lot of his video footage and stuff, I thought, well, I don't need to go there to see UFOs because I'm seeing plenty here.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been seeing a lot of ships going to the west and coming from the west.
Yeah.
And I used to think, hey, maybe I should go out there, buy a farm, get out there, live on the land, or just go sit out there, camp out there, do something. Why that? Because they're predominantly coming from the
from
west
there, yeah.
or to the west. And I just remember thinking, you know, as you do, you're sitting around by yourself working or just daydreaming, maybe I should go build a farm, buy a farm, go live on the land, and maybe they'll land or do something.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And like that movie, it reminded me of that movie, Build It and They'll Come, or Build It and He'll Come.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Field of Dreams. And I just heard James talking about, I'd been listening to him for a year or two, and he just happened to mention that his viewing field was called the Field of Dreams, and I went, shit.
The sign?
Sign, so that's why I got in the plane and went over there. I thought there'd be some more answers over there too, because what I got from following those synchronicities that took me to England those couple of times, and the answers I got over there were just profound experiences. Yeah, instant manifestation with thought.
Yeah.
On quite a few occasions, just instant. And I thought, well, I'll go over there, there'll be something over there. And, you know, get over there, meet all these wonderful people. Had an experience with James, like, you know, James come up next to me there one night at the ranch, and it was his birthday, and he'd said to me that that they had just finished telling him, the Pleiadians, that they always do something special for his birthday, and that he was going to, they said that two ships were going to come down low, put on a big show for him, and just power up big time. And at that point, I hadn't seen two ships together, and I thought, wow, man, if that doesn't come through fruition, everything that you've said is going to be questionable. And he said that was going to happen within the next hour. Now, 20 minutes later, we had two ships, like that one we had here, low down on the horizon.
Yeah.
Two of them just came through together, and they just powered up together. And it was the longest and biggest power-up I'd seen there. And then they just powered back down together and kept going. And I looked at him, and he looked at me with a big grin, and he just said, happy birthday to me. And he said goodnight to everyone, and he walked off. And I thought, okay, that's pretty
good.
Got your
attention, yeah.
That's
only happened a couple of times to me, and I even thought, should I even be saying anything? Because, like, you know it's coming in full on, but then you got that left brain kicking in going, don't screw up, you don't want to screw up. But that's pretty cool that you witnessed all that.
Yeah.
On your YouTube channel, James gave you some footage to put up there, so you can go to, again, Fast Walker's channel on YouTube, and you can see some of the stuff that James gave Dean to put up, and also, if you want to see what we saw the other night, you can go to my Facebook page, or it'll be the latest video on, or the second latest video on YouTube after this is put up, July UFOs over Agnes. So that gives you a bit of an idea of what we've been seeing here as well. So how long were you at the ranch for?
I was there for 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks?
Yeah. No, I'm self-employed, so it's hard getting away from the business for any longer than 3 or 4 weeks tops. So, you know.
But seems like not just meeting James and hanging out with him, but you met some...
heaps of great people. Giles, where we are now, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, I've been looking for somewhere to buy land for a long time, and just up around home, the Gold Coast, to buy the sort of package of land you're looking for is just too expensive. So,
yeah.
You know, Giles is up here. It's all very affordable up here. It's probably one
That's
of the most...
meeting place we're at near Agnes. Yeah.
It's probably a beautiful place on earth. I mean, we're in Agnes Waters, southeast Queensland, basically, or the northern end of it. Weather's great. The land up here is quite affordable. We've got some of the best beaches, 20-minute push bike ride away from us.
Yeah, or 7 minutes drive. And
so as it turned out, I bought myself a block of land down the road here.
Just down the road. So 44 acres here, 44 there, bloody popping up everywhere. And, and the energy's great here. Like just walking around the properties and that, you just get bars. Your whole crown just goes boosh and opens right up. We'll go into something a little bit more trippy if you want to.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your experiences when you went to South America and had some ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Because this keeps on being brought up to me, and I think it's a synchronicity sign to me, just how much it's been brought up. You, Giles, a few other people have brought it up to me. How did you first find out about ayahuasca, and what prompted you to go? To go and try it out and go to the real deal of a place to actually go and do it. You couldn't go anymore. This is Dean, how he does it. He goes to what was it, Peru?
The source.
You went to the source in South America and spent how many nights in a treehouse?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
So, we'll go into that. How did that all
happen? Well, again, that's just another big set of synchronicities. I mean, I was in England. I mean, I'd heard people talking about natal chart readings.
Yeah.
And I was just happened to be walking through Glastonbury and just saw this tiny little placard that said natal chart readings with a mobile number on it. So I thought, well, I'm here, I'll go get one done. So when it was at the end of that, she asked me if I had any questions. I said, yeah, just, you know, asked her, you know, why do I see a lot of lights in the sky? And she said to me, have you ever worked with ayahuasca? And I'm like, no, what's that? And she said it was basically a visionary, your innermost teacher. We've got all our answers inside of us. So instead of me asking her why,
you can find out yourself.
Find out yourself. So she said, this is ayahuasca. And she gave me, emailed me a couple of links to it. Now, I left that from there, basically ran back to the van, the tour vans, and people were talking in the vans as I got in there. And after about a minute, I just said, are you guys talking about ayahuasca? And they said, yeah. And I just said, wow, that's twice I've heard that in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you look at that sort of stuff.
So
yeah.
I looked at that. That was a big sign for me. And so that's where I went last year. So I jumped on a plane and just went straight to the Amazon to an ayahuasca retreat. And it's exactly what she said it was.
Yeah.
That it is a journey to your innermost teacher, that it will show you things you need to see, that you'll see them, it'll bring it up, but it'll take away all the trauma and conditioning of your life.
Programming really sort of on it, yeah. Yep.
And it'll show you what you need to see. And from a completely different perspective. And after the initial ceremony, which would last 2 hours, and through that ceremony, your visions were just mind blowing. I mean, I've done psychedelics before, but that was just incredible.
Yeah.
The geometry that came on, and then the visions. And of course, the shamans are there, and they're singing their Icaros, and they'll come over and put protections on you and take them off you. And you know, portals of sound opening up everywhere and energies coming in and seeing and feeling physically the visions that were happening to you were quite confronting for me because I didn't think I'd actually feel what I was seeing too, and I had a few times there.
There was a physical sensing component to the visions.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, one of them there, I had this purple beam of light coming straight down into my forehead and my third eye.
Yeah.
All this geometry and symbols pouring in with it, and I got this Cheshire looking cat next to it looking
like
down.
Like Gene.
Exactly like Gene. Exactly like Gene's face. When I saw like the picture of him as a kitten, I thought, wow, that cat, I think I've met that cat before.
Yeah.
But that 2 hours of the ceremony in the hut after that, I think the real work started after that for about 3 hours. I mean, there was a lot of purging, a lot of diarrhea, a lot of vomiting.
Yeah.
But I had some of the most profound experiences and epiphanies going through that process, and the visions, it would just bring up things you needed to see from the past, and I just saw it completely differently. So, I mean, very good psychologically for you to see all that, you know, and it was brilliant.
And you did it, what I think you were saying last night, it was like 2 days on or two nights on and then night off.
Yeah, two nights on, one night off. And you needed the night off just for the physical component of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was pretty full on. But, I mean, you'd wake up in the morning and you felt like $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, it raises the serotonin levels in your brain.
Which is opposite of what you were saying all the other drugs do. Yeah, yeah. It
depletes you. I woke up feeling fantastic.
And you're in a tree house.
Yeah, 5-story tree house, 3 levels.
You can see that on the YouTube channel too. Yeah. It's,
the tree house was amazing. I mean, the third story was actually, you could sit in a hammock and you could look out over the canopy of the Amazon.
Rainforest,
which
yeah.
Which was just amazing. I went up there twice after the ceremony and I had to be very careful because they're a long way down.
Yeah.
But I managed to get up into there and just sat there and look at the stars and trees and just keep having visions coming on.
You were saying about dudes walking around with, like, at the camp or the treehouse area and all that, where the ceremonies were going on, dudes walking around with AKs, like guns and that.
Yeah, all their 12 gauges.
Did that, like, after the first day or two, were you, like, cool with that sort of, there wasn't playing on your mind that component of people having guns and...
No, not at all. We're in the middle of the Amazon.
So it's just the way it is.
So that's the way they protect themselves. Yeah. I mean, there's
And you would have felt safe after some time, wouldn't you, like that? Like,
I never felt like I was in any danger
at all.
I mean,
yeah.
Following these synchronicities and
going with your heart,
around the world, and all the intents there is, you know, seeking knowledge. So I knew, even walking through the Amazon at night by myself down pathways,
you would have been right.
I was fine. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to get hurt, you know, at all. Even when we jumped into one of the tributaries in the Amazon and swam up it a bit. The old heart was gone, but I was doing it with the shaman. He's like, just go a little bit further. I'm just thinking piranhas, anacondas. We weren't in the main river, but we were still in a tributary off it.
Still a possibility.
Just let go. And that was massive to do that.
Now, that's awesome you did that. Like, hearing you and Joel's and others talk about it seems something I wouldn't mind doing. Like, I already get similar stuff without it, but I think it would activate something in another way, take it to another level, I guess.
Yeah.
Guess having it, so who knows, I might go and try it in the near future. There is a place we can do it here in Oz, so
yeah.
we'll just play it by ear with that one. So, since being over there, that was last year, how's things been since you've got back, like, for you on your journey and your experience-wise and everything else? Where are things sitting at today? It's just still flowing for you, the synchronicities and the sightings and...
Just work in progress, I guess. It's just, you know, letting it all unfold. You know, it's the first year I haven't gone travelling for 4 years, but I'm up here, so it's still following all those sinks, you know.
Yeah.
Bought a block of land, so...
And stuff's been happening.
We've had some pretty good sightings here, you know. I mean, everything I see in the sky, I still try and rationalise, you know, that's a satellite or what is that?
Yeah. You know, unless it's the big ass ones coming down low doing.
We had the
power up one of the first nights we were here and then the orb in front of you 2 nights ago.
That was great.
And the smoky wispy stuff, you know, we've all been getting that. So it's like.
Well, I suppose the biggest thing since I come back from South America would be that experience with Mary and Giles.
Yeah, would you mind going into that a little bit?
Yeah, no problem. Giles had met Mary Rodwell and just said, you got to get up here, mate, and meet her, you know, come up, and he bought this place, and so it was a good excuse to come up and see the new pad, and we just, without any sort of planning, we just dropped in to see Mary and have a cup of tea, and walking up to the house, because I brought a friend, Wendy, up, she was a clairvoyant, said, yeah, come and check out. We were planning on meeting Mary when we came up, but we came up earlier. And even walking to the house, I just saw this energy at the front of the house. It looked like this golden something and all these pins of light, like rain. I saw that, and just as I saw that, Wendy put her hand up and did this. And we looked at each other and I said, wow, did you see that, did you? And we walked into the house and said, g'day. And made a cup of tea. And we went and sat down in the sunroom, and the energy changed massively, And for the next two and a half hours, we just had orbs of light and energy waves just moving around the whole room. And there was this, like you're looking in a desert and you've got those mirage,
the heat waves.
And we were just watching beings, I guess, energy waves just walking up next to us. And we were being fried. I mean, I felt energy in crop circles and certain other places, but that was, I mean, it took us 3 days to get over that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, none of this corner of your eye movement stuff. I mean, you were watching
things. Sort of seeing what I'm seeing all the time. That's what I get from it. Like, actually, Dean was the bloke, if you heard on me and Giles talk about how he had a craft coming out of the tree. It was like the smoky stuff and it went into the ground. Dean was the one that shone, what was it, like a 10 million candlelight torch.
Yeah.
Dean didn't see it, but now the three of us did see it. But what he's describing is basically just how the beings will manifest. Like, well, that's my opinion. I know that for me, anyway, with seeing it. And you do get that up at Rodwell's. I had the same stuff going up there, and I, you know, get it here and doing the guide stuff with the, we had a lot of that going on, which we had a bit of that going on the other night when I was doing the guide stuff with all yous down there too. And yeah, Giles and Britt were getting it too. We're all getting something coming in, but it's, you know, it's interesting being around Rodwell. People have got no idea. It's a bit of an eye opener when you meet her, and then
to meet her that first time like that, and to have that experience happen. I mean, you see.
Didn't she say you fly the crafts or something?
Yeah, like, well, she we watched one walk up to her, and yeah. I mean, it's when I say watch one, it's like looking at a glass, and you look into the glass, into the rim, and you see that color of the glass, looking through the wall of the glass. That's what it looked like to me. It was an energy wave, and this thing standing in front of Mary, and she cocks her head and looks at me and says, "This one's telling me you used to fly the ships."
And you can see the distortion.
In front of her, and I'm looking at this just go. And plus, we're being fried with energy. I mean, I'm sitting in this chair going, "Oh my God, look at what is happening here."
Yeah.
And that was just, I mean, incredible.
Yeah,
very profound, powerful experience, and just to witness that, the confirmation we're all getting for ourselves. I mean, we've all had our own separate experiences, but to all be in the room to be experiencing all of this, and I mean, for 2.5 hours, not just 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I mean, that was incredible. We drove home the next day, slept, and that next day, all I did was walk around in circles.
Yeah.
And I got on to Wendy and Giles and said, "How are you guys going?" They said, "They can't function. They can't do anything."
It's because another energy hitting you. That's what happens with me a lot. And they see me in a daze and they're like, "We just know you're not in this dimension, Pete. It's okay." But it's the other energy bands hitting your energy bands, and that's going to be like a ramification from that happening and the outcome of that. So you sort of drained, like you have got a hangover, but you haven't got a hangover. You just can't think. You're a bit clumsy.
Yeah.
Well, don't know what to do. Yeah.
Just sitting there rocking in the corner thinking, like, you know, I can't do anything. Or you'd walk into a room and you'd think, "What am I doing here?" And you walk back, you know, you just couldn't function. And that was, it took 3 days to feel normal again.
Yeah.
To really calm down from that. And still, for 3 days, was seeing all this white, wispy, smoky energy line stuff was still around us, even back home.
Yeah.
It was in the car with me driving, you know, just thinking, geez. So coming from old school, I guess, UFO magazines, looking at nuts and bolts ships, you know, waiting for something to land, landing gear and someone to walk down steps, I've come a long way in my own consciousness as far as this whole interdimensional reality that's around us, and, you know, crop circles are a massive part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a communication to the human race from some other,
you've opened up my eyes into, like, I believe there were certain crop circles that were real, but talking to you and learning a little bit more about, you know, how things have played out for you and, like, the signature and the knots and the nodes, you know, I think they're just things that it's worth just skimming over at least, you know, just looking at.
Well, it's probably the most important thing that takes place on the planet every year are the crop circles.
And it's around this time now, each year. I think Mary's just about to leave for 2 months to go to the UK. She said, "I'm going to be there at the
peak of
it." Yeah. So it's you got a physical component to it?
Yeah, and it's something we can study. Mm. And I mean, scientists have been, there's a Dr. Levengood, I think it is, he's an American. He's been looking at it for 20 years, and it blows him away. I mean, the cellular structure change, it's in the plant.
Yeah, and the energy, it should be burning the bloody thing.
Yeah, it should set the whole field on fire, and it doesn't.
Doesn't, yeah.
You know, but it goes through the plant. I mean, depending on the age of the plant and how mature it is, if it's young, the steam can push out through the fibres of the plant. When it's older and a bit harder, that energy, that steam actually gets blown out through the node, so you've got an expulsion cavity. On the plant itself, where the steam blows out of it, doesn't kill the plant. The plant still grows. I mean, and just the soil. I mean, we get all this space debris and dust. You know, it's high in iron. That's always constantly filtering down, coming down on the planet. That's found to be very concentrated
in these circles.
Found in the soil. You know, it's almost like you get a light. A globe, and you bring the light down, you put it close to the ground, it's brightest in the middle, and then it peters out there. This is the same distribution of this metal
around the crop circles.
They take, you know, just samples from the center and go all the way out, you know, up to 1,000 feet.
Trippy.
And take a bit, and so they can measure this.
That's some cool stuff.
And it's amazing. But anything on mainstream, when they do a documentary on crop circles, it's all pointing towards the hoax side of things. They get some guy on that says, you know, as far as science goes, I mean, there's no difference between nitrogen inside or outside. And I mean, I've never even heard anyone mention nitrogen levels in soil before. So, I mean...
It's like the actual UFO thing too. They'll get a skeptic on telling me that my footage is Venus.
You know, that sort of thing.
Well, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks heaps for coming on the show. I hope you've all enjoyed it, because I've enjoyed meeting Dean, listening to, you know, how things are going for him. On another note, there's the Meeting Place page up on the website now, and also there's a Facebook page for it. So just go to my Facebook or my website, and you can find the links to, you know, find out with events and workshops going on here. So cheers for being on, mate.
Cheers, mate.
And thanks for watching and listening, everyone. Cheers.